This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Earthwise, Environment and Peace with Justice interviews on Plains FM 96.9.
Welcome to Earthwise. I'm Martin Griffiths. For today's program, Lois and I are delighted to have with us here in the Christchurch Plains studio, lawyer Peter Richardson of AWA Aotearoa Water Action.
Water. We can't live without it. In many parts of the world, people realize that water is more essential than even oil. But we're lucky here in New Zealand, aren't we? But do we really value this important resource, and are we using it wisely? Welcome to Earthwise, Peter Richardson.
Thank you.
Well, Peter, there is concern about water, how water bottling companies are able to extract what sounds like huge volumes of New Zealand aquifer water for very little payment, bottle it and then sell it overseas, making huge profits. I have a feeling that for many people, this just doesn't sound right. Why is it allowed?
Well, that's a really difficult and complex question. One of the main problems we have in New Zealand is with the Resource Management Act, which has a fairly warped system of allocating water. So rather than allocating water on the basis of best use or, you know, prioritising community uses or prioritising environmental needs, it simply has what's called a first-in, first-served regime. So water is allocated basically on the basis of who applies for it first within the parameters, if you like, of the Resource Management Act. So if you have competing potential uses for water, water is not allocated on the basis of which is the best use or which is the best use in terms of community needs, but it's allocated on the basis effectively of who applies first, provided they meet the criteria in the Act, which in some ways are fairly loose.
Well, maybe this is where some of the problem arises, because irrigators want a lot of water, but a more important use would be public health, wouldn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, that's quite right.
Is there any other country that allows its aquifer water to be extracted en masse and sent overseas?
Yeah, too many, unfortunately. Certainly Australia.
Do they?
America, yes. It's a worldwide problem. And it's an outcome, I think, of global capitalism and neoliberalism. Really, community rights to water throughout the world have been put second behind the interests of corporates.
In fact, if I remember rightly, go back a while, I think water bottling, I mean, certainly when I was growing up, we never heard of bottled water. It just didn't exist. There was no such thing as bottled water. You turned on the tap if you lived in a Western country and you were very lucky and good clean water came out of the tap, and that's how you got water. Nobody ever thought of any other way of getting water to drink.
Wouldn't have had massive dairy in England, would you?
Well, certainly not, no, but I'm thinking of
industrial dairy, I should call it.
Bottled water is... how old is it? 30, 40 years or...?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's probably... I can't be exact, but it's probably 20 to 30 years old. But it's a really interesting story how the bottled water industry set up. And basically, it set up when the big bottling companies, the Coca-Colas and Pepsi-Colas of this world, discovered that people were turning off bottled soft drinks, so their sales were declining and they looked for another market. And they very skillfully, I must say, manufactured a market for bottled water. And one of the main ways that they did this was by denigrating or calling into question the quality of water that was supplied from community drinking water supplies. So they had advertising campaigns that basically promoted the idea that you couldn't trust the water that you were drinking from a tap, or that it was lower quality, and that you should be drinking pure quality water, which they would supply in plastic water bottles. Now, the fallacy was that a lot of this very same water was being supplied in plastic water bottles actually came from community water supplies, was then treated by the water bottlers and sold back as pure bottled water. So the water bottling industry is simply a result of manufactured demand. But the unfortunate outcome of the growth of the water bottling industry is that it puts pressure on community water supplies. People start to question whether, in fact, their community supplies are supplying pure quality water. If they have available bottled water, they tend not to look after their own community water bottling supplies. And, you know, we can see this now. You know, look at where our water is going. It's going to countries like China. Why is it going to China? Well, it's going to China because they have failed to protect their own drinking water supplies, their own community water supplies, and therefore having to mine it in other countries and export it to places like China. So the availability of bottled water taken from other parts of the globe, which allegedly have a surplus, is really reducing the imperative for local communities in countries like China to look after their own water supplies.
And the people there, less well off in China, of course, won't be able to afford their own bottled water that they buy there, will they?
No, and more and more so. I mean, look at oil. You know, what are we paying now? $2.30 a litre for oil, you know, I mean, Lord knows what it was 10 years ago, maybe it was $1.50. So, you know, as scarcity grows, prices increase. People won't be able to afford clean water. And they'll also be at the mercy of water bottling companies that are only interested in profits, of course.
I think they've also made it fashionable to have bottled water.
Yeah, that's another thing too. That's part of the advertising as well. You know, advertising people in gyms switching from there.
Well, they're very skillful, isn't it?
Yeah.
The main, or the most recent concern here in Canterbury is this. What's happening in Belfast? The Cloud Ocean Water Limited.
Yeah.
And what have they been granted, and how did they get it?
Okay, there's. Cloud Ocean Water was granted a consent in December to take around about 4 million litres of water a day from the aquifer in Belfast. But in conjunction with that, another company, Raupaki Natural Resources Limited, was granted 5 consents to take 20 million litres of water from the same aquifer. So in total, 24 million litres of water a day have been granted by ECAN.
And then this is bottled and sold overseas.
Yeah.
What are the local concerns about that? There's several concerns about it, aren't there? How does it affect our own aquifer supply, for example, our drinking water supply?
Well, the problem is we just don't know. There's been no adequate research done on the quantities of water that can be taken safely from our aquifer. Inadequate research on the environmental effects. So the answer is that we just don't know. One thing is that the consents that have been granted are all to take from existing bores, which were old industrial bores. And so these consents are from shallow bores, generally around about 30 metres. And in some cases, in at least the case of Cloud Ocean, it's on land that has been identified as potentially contaminated. So one plus, I think, is that potentially, and I'm not entirely sure because we don't know what they're up to, but Cloud Ocean in particular may not have much of an interest in bottling water from that particular bore. Although my understanding is that they're bottling it now and presumably selling it, notwithstanding the contamination issue or the potential contamination issue. But what they've also applied for at the same time and been granted is the right to sink a bore at 180 metres. Now, they haven't yet been granted a right to take water from that bore. And one of the reasons they haven't pushed it through at this stage is that Christchurch City Council has raised a red flag around that because potentially taking water from that bore would affect two drinking water bores that supply the northwest of Christchurch. So there is opposition at council level about the prospect of water being taken for water bottling from that deep bore.
I know there's opposition to this, but it seems to me that the trouble really is the sort of laws that we operate under. This idea that, is this a government idea that water belongs to no one?
Yeah. Well, that's just a complete fallacy, isn't it?
It sounds ridiculous.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, if you have the right to extract the water, you have the right to use it, you have the right to profit from it, then, you know, in what way do you not own it?
And in this case of Cloud Ocean Water, they broke some of the rules, didn't they? They started extracting before they were given permission to, or before they notified what they were doing, something like that.
Yeah, well, they had permission, but it was subject to certain conditions, one of which was that they notify Environment Canterbury before they start taking water, which they didn't. And the other one was that they monitor the taking of water, which they didn't, or they stopped monitoring it, apparently. So Environment Canterbury, and credit to them, they issued an abatement notice and required them to stop taking water until they were compliant with their conditions.
Have they taken notice of that abatement rule?
Oh, they would have to. Yes. Yeah, they would have to. But, I mean, to be honest, it's very much a... all they really have to do is probably to, you know, file a piece of paper with ECAN and then to start monitoring, which they were doing at some stage anyway. So it's not something that's going to affect their operation in any great degree, I don't think. But at least ECAN is keeping an eye on them, which is good.
So we have the concern here now about Cloud Ocean Water. But this sort of thing's been going on for a long time. Mm. 2 years ago, Martin and I went to Ashburton, where there was a big public outcry about the city council was about to sell a lot, including the right to extract water. And people were worried about shortage of water anyway.
Mm.
So that case, the public was able to fight it, and I think, and stop that sale.
Mm.
And here we have public fighting something else. But in fact, in 2016, there was an excellent article in the press about naming all the different bottled water giants taking water from places like Tai Tap and going to quite wealthy countries.
Mm.
So it just doesn't seem right, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's potentially we're in the infancy of an industry like oil. I mean, you know, we're seeing ever more encroachments on our water resources, and who knows where it's going to end. I mean, the demand is insatiable as far as I can work out.
The biggest demand, sorry to interrupt, the biggest demand's from dairying, isn't it, from industrial dairying?
Yes, certainly. Yeah, by volume, the amounts of the takes are absolutely enormous. But people tend to focus just on the raw numbers, which are probably less relevant than other factors, because most of those agricultural or dairy takes are from run-of-river takes and from stored water, so a lot of them aren't from aquifers.
Not from aquifers.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that when we're talking about a take from the Christchurch aquifer, we're talking about a very constrained space, which is basically the aquifers that supply Christchurch. So as a proportion of the volume of water that's available from those aquifers, I think you'll find that the takes or the permits that have been granted to Cloud Ocean and Rapaki are probably way in excess of those that have been granted to the agricultural irrigators. So looking at it just on the basis of volume is a little bit irrelevant, really.
I see. So it might be a good idea, you should point out that aquifers aren't necessarily infinite, are they?
Not at all. No. I mean, I've been reading quite a bit about one of the huge aquifers in the United States, the Ogallala Aquifer, which has been seriously depleted by horticultural activity, particularly almond growing and other activity in California and around there. And it's basically reached a stage of massive depletion now with collapse of soils, with ground levels dropping. And it's estimated that to recharge that aquifer fully would take something like 10,000 years.
Oh, gosh.
Mm. So they've been getting it free there, have they, just extracting it for nothing?
Yeah, I assume so.
Yes.
Then there's another issue that gets involved, is that of plastic bottles. Becoming more and more aware of the plastic that's getting into the oceans and then onto the beaches.
It's dreadful,
So what do you think needs to be done?
What we would like to see is a moratorium on a grant of consents for any water bottling activities. Because first of all, the question of ownership of water needs to be sorted out. We'd like to see, obviously, the Belfast consents overturned. We've brought legal action to try and overturn them. And we would like to see the government reform the Resource Management Act to prioritise community uses of water and environmental needs.
And it goes back 25 years, doesn't it, more, the RMA? I mean, it is out of date, isn't it? It's, so much has changed since it was written.
Well, they probably weren't expecting this sort of thing. At least they're saying that water is a resource, which is resource management. What an important resource to manage. I'll make one other point that... we've in the past done many programs on water, and we had an interview with Alistair Humphreys, the public health specialist, and he said something that impressed me so much. He said the best way, the most important step in protecting public health is to protect public drinking water.
Yeah, I agree with him 100%.
You're listening to Earthwise, broadcasting in Christchurch on Plains FM 96.9, in Hamilton on Free FM, and in Waikanae on Coast Access FM. Today's guest is Peter Richardson of AWA Aotearoa Water Action.
Well, Peter, I was shocked to hear of an incident when it happened 2 years ago. You probably know what I'm about to say, on the North Island. Something that I never thought would happen in New Zealand. I'm referring to the crisis in Havelock North. In August 2016, 5,500 people fell ill from drinking contaminated drinking water. 45 hospitalized, three died. Mm. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, it's a terrible incident. And let's go back to the cause of that incident. It was basically stock stock effluent intruding into the water supply, into the drinking water supply. So there was a failure in Havelock North to, if you like, ensure that the effects of agricultural activity weren't causing damage and contaminating the water supply. It's been used, however, as a as an excuse by Water New Zealand and or principally by Water New Zealand and its members to push for the centralisation and the commercialisation of water delivery in New Zealand.
Sort of Water New Zealand is actually a commercial group that's trying to increase the sales of water, isn't it? That's its purpose.
Yeah, yes. Well, they would say they're an industry body. They're effectively a lobby group that lobbies on behalf of industry members, people who manage water supplies and businesses that profit from the management of water supplies.
Who actually now is responsible, basically responsible, to ensure that we do have quality drinking water? But there's three, what's it called, three waters to consider: the drinking water, the storm water,
and wastewater.
And wastewater.
Yeah.
Who's ultimately responsible for this sort of important
Well, there is a bit of an overlap of responsibility. So you have the Department of Health that has responsibility through its, I think they... I'm not an expert in this area, but you have the, I think the Department of Health that's responsible for overseeing the quality of drinking water. And one of the issues that I might add here, and it's a little bit of an aside, is that the Health Act, which is administered by the Ministry of Health, doesn't fully apply to bottled water, so they fall outside the regime a bit, which is a bit worrying because we don't know what, you know, they're not subject to the same oversight that community drinking water supplies are. So you have the Ministry of Health, you have the local district health boards, and we have here, as you said, Alistair Humphrey, who's the district medical officer of health, who has a role as well. We have drinking water assessors, and I have a feeling that they are also subject or also part of the district health boards, but don't quote me on that. So there are various sort of layers of oversight. And of course we have the government which regulates.
Well, when this happened in Havelock North, my first reaction was, well, they haven't had an earthquake, and yet they've had this awful, was it partly to do with climate change, with storms?
Well, there was, my understanding was there was a there was some particularly bad weather, and often these contaminations happen during floods where, water gets washed into the drinking water system, and I think that's what happened there. But effectively, it was just a failure of management to adequately protect the drinking water supply and also, of course, the presence of stock.
Of course, once this happened, the question down here was, could it happen in Christchurch?
Well, it's a different issue in Christchurch. We've never had an issue, as far as I know, other than during the earthquakes, in which we chlorinated temporarily and managed to ensure the safety of the supply. So, look, it's a contentious issue. Council has taken a precautionary approach to it, and rightly so. My view is that probably we are not unsafe in Christchurch, and we haven't been, but we failed to meet one of the standards for clean drinking water supply, which is related to the well heads or the bore heads. So council has probably rightly taken the view that they need to be fixed. I don't agree that they necessarily had to chlorinate while they were doing so, but certainly they've taken those steps to fix the bore heads, which should ensure that we have a very safe supply.
Is there any question of lack of money? Is the main problem being that this sort of important services have been underfunded?
Yeah, definitely. That's an issue that the government needs to look at. They're conducting a three waters review at the moment. Unfortunately, they're looking at the structure. They're looking at a centralised structure for delivering water. They're looking at taking control and management of water delivery off local councils. They're looking in the wrong places. What they should be focusing on, in ours view, is first of all the effects of intensive dairying and intensive agriculture. Secondly, the funding and providing proper infrastructure. Now, that's simply a question of finding the money. It doesn't matter the way in which it's delivered. You simply need to find the funding. It's more of an issue in smaller councils where they have different strains on their infrastructure. They have wider areas to cover and more difficult issues. But Alistair Humphrey has rightly raised the huge concern. The biggest threat to Christchurch's drinking water supply at the moment is the presence of nitrates, which are steadily probably leaching into our water supply from the effects of industrial dairying. Now, that's been raised as a concern, and it's actually a huge concern. I know that Alistair Humphrey, because I've heard him speak, has a huge concern about the possibility of blue baby syndrome. Mm-hmm. And other effects of nitrate leaching into our water supply. So that's the areas that government and council should be looking at.
Yes, I have tremendous respect for Mr. Humphreys, by the way. And it's a big topic, and I appreciate what you're doing, your group, AWA.
AWA.
Did you want to have anything to share with the public?
Yeah, just to let people know that we do have our first hearing, our first court hearing on our challenge to the consents that have been granted in Belfast. That takes place on the 2nd of October at 10 a.m. in the High Court in Christchurch. We will, if we are successful in that hearing, we'll go on to further hearings. And so this is just the first stage. And we will be asking the community of Christchurch to support us by way of fundraising. Very generously, the people of Christchurch raised $40,000 to enable us to get into court, but we will require to raise more funds. So.
And how do they get a hold of you?
They can check out our website, which is aotearoawateraction@gmail.com. www.aotearoawateraction.org, and also our Facebook pages, which is one is called Bottle Off-Stop the Belfast Bottling Plants, and the other one is called Aotearoa Water Action-AWA. So on either of those pages,
Thank you for coming in, Peter.
Good luck. All these things need money to support the public things.
It's a costly business bringing proceedings. Yeah.
I think we might just have time for a quick news item. We often try to end the program sometimes with a positive one. This isn't so positive, but I think it'll interest you because there's a connection. Just a few days ago, there was a massive fire at the largest natural history museum in Latin America. Yeah. It had never been completely renovated in 200 years history. Obvious infrastructure problems, leaks, no working sprinkler system.
And they're blaming austerity, the neoliberal regime over years. Let it run down.
Not providing this sort of infrastructure that's needed to keep something going. But it's tragic, isn't it?
It's terribly tragic, It's just, probably because, no one makes money out of it, it's a public good and, community and public
services run down. But it hurts the public.
It does,
worldwide, isn't it?
Yeah. And the other thing, just say how sorry we are for the people in Japan. They've just gone, they've had this typhoon. They've always had typhoons, but the extreme typhoon must be part of climate change. And now this an earthquake. So our heart goes out to them. So from us at Earthwise,
goodbye.
Goodbye.